The back end of the Sheffield Shield season is well and truly alive after a Jackson Bird-inspired Tasmania crushed New South Wales inside 3 days at Bellerive. My name is Willem van Denderen. This is Shield Informed. To discuss it all, as always, is Brody Hoyne. How are you, Brody, mate? Now, you were milking a cow and you looked at the score and you saw Jackson Bird going through the Blues and you fell off the chair, mate.
Mate, he's taking the piss. I can't believe how good the weekend was. So Jackson Bird took the piss and the Crom, go Crom, got up against your Cats, mate. Fantastic. It was actually the best weekend I've had in a long time purely off that. Nah, this is the Jackson Bird special this episode because we're just going to talk about how bloody good he was. Took the piss, put the cue in the rack afterwards, and Tasmania got the chocolates. Fantastic. Love to see that. Always the bridesmaid, though, Jackson Bird, which we hate to see, but he just says, suck eggs, boys. I'm still pretty good at this game.
Well, as Slim Shady Eminem once said, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Hey, a terrible lyric, but on this occasion, Jackson Bird very much was the bride. He was truly remarkable. His best first-class score with the bat, which has gone a little bit under the radar, his best first-class score with the ball, looking forward to, or his best first-class figures with the ball, I should say, looking forward to going through that match in detail. A little bit of a shorter show today. You can see that. You've downloaded the episode. It gives you a little indication of how many minutes it's going to run for. So you already know that it's going to be a shorter show. Just going to pack this one in midweek. We're going to review the Tasmania-New South Wales match. We're also going to preview Queensland against South Australia. We'll run through the table and then a little bit of a bake at the end. So a little bit of a streamlined whip around of the Sheffield Shield season for you this episode. Brody, why don't you kick us off with the news, mate?
Yeah, 100%. So New South Wales have sunk to their lowest total in Sheffield Shield history, managing just 32 runs in their first innings on day two against Tasmania. Jackson Bird, as we previously mentioned, registered his best first-class figures of 7 for 18, which is good grief, those are good figures. As the Blues lost 9 wickets inside 20 overs, with Sean Abbott unable to bat following a webbing injury to his hand. So, geez, not so great for New South Wales. Couldn't take a trick, obviously, over the weekend. For Tasmania, the 298-run win was their first win in over 12 months and rockets them to third on the Shield table with one match remaining for them. So the competition wide open now.
We'll just open up the archives quickly. So the lowest Sheffield Shield totals in history. South Australia, well, that's a little bit predictable. Sorry, Redbacks. They made 27 against New South Wales in 1955-56. South Australia again made 29 against New South Wales a little bit more recently, 2004-05. The Vics managed 31 against New South Wales in 1906-07. And now we have New South Wales with 32 against Tasmania in Hobart 2020-2021. Brody, you predicted this, mate. New South Wales, they rested a couple. They mucked with their side. They left out Moises Henriques, who we know gives them so much solidity throughout the middle order. Then you lose Sean Abbott as well. That was unfortunate. He was bowling his seventh over early on the first day. Went to field a drive from Matthew Wade and just caught him, and straight away he knew he'd done some pretty significant damage to his hand. So he didn't bat, he didn't bowl again. He was out of the match. You've got to wonder now, I mean, New South Wales will still make the final if they win their next game. But some serious question marks around that second tier now. I mean, Daniel Solway, he went okay. Jason Sanger, these guys didn't step up and they've flirted with their form a little bit now, and there are no guarantees at the back end of the season.
100%, mate. And yeah, I did say that New South Wales are going in with probably their weakest team for the season. And well, it was obvious, wasn't it? Whilst Jackson Bird was fantastic, and I'm not going to take any credit away from him, their batting lineup was nowhere near to the strength that we've seen all season with guys like, and not knocking them because of their good players in their own right, but Jilks, Sanger, Solway, Larkin didn't get off to any start at all. So yeah, you're right, that second tier, it does get a little bit vulnerable for New South Wales. Obviously, the injury to Abbott really hurts. And he's been so good this year. He's been fantastic, really good to watch. But they're going to ask for a lot from the players coming back in their last game, I reckon, New South Wales, because obviously their second tier, as we mentioned, just might not be able to get the chocolates.
Casting an eye forward to Tuesday, the Ian Healy Oval in North Brisbane is set to become Australia's latest first-class venue when it hosts Queensland and South Australia. The match was originally scheduled for Allan Border Field, but has been moved given the superior drainage system at Healy Oval, with plenty of rain again forecast across the state. Ian Healy Oval is part of Queensland's $18.6 million National Cricket Campus project, which also includes an upgrade to Allan Border Field, which is going to bring that venue in line with international standards. A quick word, our thoughts, of course, with everybody across New South Wales and Queensland with the rain and the flood. So that puts the amount of cricket that we've been losing to rain in perspective over the last week. So yeah, our thoughts go out there. But exciting, a new first-class venue. Let's hope we see some play. I don't think we're going to see much play on Tuesday.
It's sort of we'll take what we can get from this game. But right as we speak, probably not going to get a lot of game early in the week, but maybe later on they might shorten it down a little bit. But it's just one of those games. It's going to be a big game. Queensland, you know, this will cement them their spot in the final. South Australia, well, they got nothing to lose, really. They're probably just looking to get a scalp, get a win on the board. They've got a pretty decent team at the moment, South Australia. They'll be looking to scalp someone, and Queensland's their opportunity. Just sort of hope we get a ball bowl, to be honest.
Yeah, they might roll another debutant out of their premier system through the team as well, South Australia, which is exciting. We'll have info on that later in the show. But geez, Queensland have been hard done by. They had the washout against Victoria in both formats. The Sheffield Shield match was a write-off, and as was the Marsh Cup game, not a ball bowled last Saturday. So they haven't played properly since the 6th or 7th of March, and gearing up to the business end, you want to be playing as much cricket as possible. Finally, switching to the National Women's Cricket League, Victoria and the Queensland Fire will play the final at the Junction Oval this Saturday. Despite Cricket Victoria's suggestion, it should be rescheduled to next month. The Vics will enter as underdogs with a plethora of players in New Zealand with the national side, those being some pretty big names here: Brody, Meg Lanning, Elise Perry, Sophie Molyneux, Georgia Wareham, Taylor Fleminick, and Molly Strano. The Fire will also be missing a couple. They'll be without skipper Jess Johnson and arguably the best Australian female player going around at the minute, Beth Mooney. This is going to be a bit of a relief, though, Brody, because there's no New South Wales Breakers. A little bit of history. The National Women's Cricket League started in 1996-97. In its 24 completed campaigns, the Breakers have won 20 and lost the other four finals. They've made every single final. This is going to be the first one not to feature them. The Vics last won it 15 years ago. They've got two titles, 2002-03 and 2004-05. Queensland have never won it. They've lost five finals. So there's a little bit on the line here.
That is a ridiculous stat. Of 24 completed seasons, they've been in the final of every single one. That is incredible. That is one of the more obscure sporting stats I've ever heard of in my life. Great to see some of it. Go on.
I'm trying to think of, is there any sporting competition in the world that has that percentage of wins to one side? I mean, we know Juventus win the Celtic win the Scottish League, and Juventus back in history.
Even Juventus nearly got relegated like 10, 15 years ago. So that's ridiculous. There are dominant teams, don't get me wrong, in European football and around the world. Don't get me wrong, but 24 in a row, that's more than taking the piss.
A 24-year reign.
Yeah. Anyway, that's good to see some other teams. It's a shame, though, and I understand why Victoria want to push for the game to be in April, because you listen to some of those players that aren't playing: Lanning, Perry, Molyneux, Wareham, Vlemmick. These are all top-notch, bloody good female players, and they're not going to be featuring in the final, which is a deep shame, because they've probably been the best players in the competition as it stands. So, I mean, that's why they're in the Australian squad. But yeah, I think the Victoria are probably pulling the right pin. Sorry, probably have the right idea in saying they want to play next month. But beggars can't be choosers, Willem.
Annabelle Sutherland is injured at the moment as well, and she might be fit if they had to put this one back to April. But the decision is made. If you can get down to the Junction on Saturday, get your ass there. All right, we're moving on. On the other side of this, we will have a full review and a preview of the match to come. Stick around. Tasmania 333 and 191 defeated New South Wales 32 and 194 by an emphatic 298 runs. Tasmania, yeah, well, they've humiliated the Blues. They've cracked their first win in a year and a week, I think it is. Roughly about 54 weeks it's been. And they've really opened up the back end of the season here now. New South Wales won the toss and elected to field, and they managed just one wicket for their efforts in the first session. Trent Copeland having Jordan Silk caught behind. And as mentioned, they also lost Sean Abbott, which would go on to have a big factor in the game, splitting the webbing in his hand. Matty Wade was batting at number three. His first class match since the Indian Test Series, where his career is probably unfortunately over at that level. He made a 50. He put on a partnership of 66 with Caleb Jewell. The other big partnership later in the day came from Tim Payne and Bo Webster. That was worth 67 for the sixth wicket. And at stumps, Tasmania was 7 for 258. At this point, nothing abnormal about this match, you wouldn't think.
Yeah, it was a decent showing by Tasmania early. Obviously, pretty strong bowling attack still from New South Wales. I've still got guys like Stark, obviously not Abbott, but Copeland, Lyon was bowling, and Harry Conway, who we know can actually bowl quite well at the domestic level. Tim Payne showed a lot of guts. He probably just trudged across his crease a bit too far in his LBW decision with Trent Copeland. We know Trent Copeland loves that sort of stuff, and he'll get you most of the time when that happens. But overall, yeah, that was a really solid showing, and you thought game on at this point, didn't you?
Yeah, you did. Payne was out for 87 the next morning. That's actually his third score of 87 since his last ton. So it's well publicised, his sort of scant first class hundreds column. So he was dirty on this decision.
I think it's a Nathan Lyon thing, but he doesn't like being 13 runs, or someone doesn't like being like 13 runs off 100. I think it's a Nathan
87.
Lyon thing. Oh, he doesn't like 87.
That's an unlucky number.
Yeah.
87 is an unlucky number, isn't it? That's the idea.
I think Nathan Lyon was like in the Howie games, he's like, I hate 87. Anything to do with 87, I can't do, or something like that, which is, well, proof's in the pudding, mate. It's an omen. It's a terrible thing.
Certainly is. Yeah, some good bowling figures. Mitchell Stark. Actually, these are spookily similar bowling figures here. Stark, 27 overs, 3 for 88. Copeland, 28.4 overs, 3 for 90. And Conway, well, not so similar, but on track, 22.1 overs, 1 for 56. The second morning, Jackson Bird had Daniel Hughes and Daniel Solway LBW in the first over. And from there, he rattled through the rest of them pretty much. They crumbled to 9 for 32. As mentioned, their lowest total ever and the fourth lowest all time. Remarkable figures. Jackson Bird, 10 overs, 5 maidens, 7 for 18. Peter Siddle was providing the pressure and the support, and a few more of those wickets could easily have gone his way. They bowled in tandem beautifully. 9 overs, 5 maidens, 1 for 14. Ducks galore here for New South Wales.
The scorecard looks like a pond here. You've got Daniel Hughes, Daniel Solway, Curtis Patterson, Nathan Lyon. They've got Sean Abbott here with a duck next to his name, which I think that's just not fair. But it is ducks galore. And even Sam Rainbird chipped in and took the wicket of Harry Conway just to get his name in there, get his name on the score sheet. But it was 7 wickets from Jackson Bird. Well and truly earned his pay.
I don't think we should be surprised by this. I think Bird and Siddle, I mean, they're such experienced, brilliant campaigners. At some point, you had the feeling that they were just going to really take a game in an innings by the scruff of the neck. I don't think anyone could have predicted that it would be New South Wales crumbling for 32. I mean, New South Wales also were dismissed for 64 earlier in the season by Tassie in the Adelaide Hub. Jeez, doesn't that feel like a long time ago at the Adelaide Hub? But they managed to turn that one around, and that got turned into a win. But yeah, there was no coming back from this. So yeah, brilliant experienced bowling from two of the oldest, most experienced heads in the Sheffield Shield, and they've moved into that sort of phase where it's like domestic cricket completed it, mate.
Yeah, we talk about that Adelaide Hub. That doesn't even feel like it was this season. It feels like so long ago. And that was a remarkable game, New South Wales coming back from that. But, geez, I think now 32 all out is biting off a little bit more than they can chew.
Tasmania, though, decided they were going to be good blokes about it. They were going to have a bat again. Geez, I would have thought if ever you were going to enforce the follow-on, this was it. But then they didn't want to expose themselves to the possibility of New South Wales making 450 in the second innings and then having to bat late, maybe chase a small total. I don't know. We're really just tossing up a few ideas here. They were 3 for 48, but they were never in trouble. Silk made 25, Jewell 31, Doran 39, and Tim Payne another 40. Nathan Lyon took 4, and Jason Sanger took 3 with his, as you would say, Brody, his little dibbly-dobblies. But at this point, we were just really, this was just entree stuff. We were waiting for the main course, and that was to see if Tassie could bowl New South Wales out. Inside 2 days, they finished on 191 and set New South Wales 493.
Yeah, this wasn't a great second innings from Tasmania by any stretch. Tim Payne 40 not out, so he had a pretty decent game all round as well. But yeah, it wasn't great by them. I think the pitch had started to deteriorate, or not even actually, because it was only day two. So maybe that's why they didn't enforce the follow-on and probably didn't back themselves to get the wickets as quickly as they'd like and wanted to add a bit more punishment. But, yeah, 191 is not great, but obviously it didn't really matter in the end, did it?
No, it certainly didn't. And New South Wales were never going to get their way out of this one. They showed a little bit of fight. Daniel Solway in particular made 25. He faced 101 balls. Mitchell Stark put on 36, Copeland 58 at the death. But in the end, yeah, Peter Siddle got some just rewards that he missed out on in the first innings. He took 3 wickets. And Sam Rainbird as well, the left arm option, who we don't talk about a lot. He's back in the queue a little bit behind Ellis and Meredith. But when he does get his opportunity, I thought he was really good. He had 2 for 7 at one point. Those figures blew out a little bit, but particularly coming over the wicket to the right-hander and pushing it across as a left armer was giving a little bit of a point of difference. And that was the match. Jackson Bird, you would think that they didn't think too hard about that one when awarding the man of the match.
Nah, 8 wickets for the game, 55 runs. Put the queue in the rack for the second innings of for New South Wales and just said, boys, I've done all the heavy lifting here. My shoulders are buggered. You know, I'm sick of carrying you boys. You guys can do something here. And that they did. And a good win by Tasmania really opens the competition door right up now. The number of teams are in the hunt now to be in that final game of the year.
Yeah, and the other factor, I mean, you can look at the points on the board, but the other factor is how are New South Wales sort of morally and mentally? That's an absolute pasting coming into the back end of the season. That's not good for anyone, no matter how strong you are.
Nah, usually when you see this at an AFL level, it usually means curtains for whoever team that is. I remember many moons ago when Melbourne was still in the hunt for the top 8 and then Geelong came out and beat them by nearly 200 points. And then they said, yep, that's probably our season done. So things like that don't tend to go very well for any team. you'd like that one, wouldn't you, Willem?
I was just thinking you should apply for a job at Fox Sports, or you're trying to link everything back to the footy.
Oh, I love it, mate. But there's always a footy analogy for everything. But that one, that's like one of your holiest of days as a Geelong fan. My Cats mates are just, all they talk about is that day and Steve Johnson kicking 5 and having 40 touches or whatever it was, you know, just ridiculous stats. But this is a cricket show. Well, anyway.
We're a national show and we also go into England as well. So I'll indulge this conversation today purely because I don't think there's any New South Welshman north of the Barassi line having a listen. Yeah, that was a great day for the Catters. And little known fact, we did the Suns by 150 points the week before as well. So it was a beautiful period on our way to our third flag in 5 years. Queensland and South Australia are going to kick things off on Tuesday morning at the Ian Healy Oval at 11 a.m. Queensland, they can just about sew up a finals position, or a place in the final rather, with a win here over the Redbacks. For the Sackers and Dizzy Gillespie, they're running out of chances to avoid a winless season. We've discussed them a lot. They probably get chatted about more than any team on this program. And I think overall, we'd consider that there has been progress with South Australia this season, but you don't want to go winless. So come on, boys, fire up. Queensland have picked a 12-man squad. Out goes Mark Steckerty with a minor side complaint. In comes to the squad, Billy Stanlake.
Yeah, we like Billy Stanlake. We got around him a few weeks ago. Probably not exactly a like-for-like replacement. I think Steckerty might be the pick over the long form of the game, but we like Billy Stanlake. And he can rip through the top order pretty easily, can't he? Which we love to see.
Hasn't played a first-class game this season. I think he could be a huge factor with 2 games and a final to go. They're missing Mitch Swepson as their X factor with the ball. As far from a like-for-like as you could possibly get, but still gives a significant point of difference. I reckon just wind him up and let him go. I want to see him in it. I want to see him in this one. Pick Big Bill.
We did see a couple of years ago when James Patterson came back into the squad for Victoria and almost won the Shield final off his own, well, not off his own boot, but off his own bowling. Off his own hand, yeah, off his own wrist. So, yeah, just slapped it into the pads and did plenty for Victoria then. Are we seeing that happen again? Or may we see that happen again with Billy Stanlake? Who knows? There's definitely a chance, though.
Yeah. As I've said a couple of times, I just think without Swepson, they need a little bit of something extra just to give them a bit of a kick along and a bit of a point of difference. They're batting extremely strong, especially with Matt Renshaw in form at the minute. Bryce Street, Joe Burns, Manus Labuschagne, Usman Khawaja, and Renshaw. The keeper will be Pearson. And then the bowlers, they'll pick from Bartlett, Doggett, Neeser, Wildermuth, who had a little bit of an injury, but he's recovered, so he's going to be in the fold, Stanlake and Kuhneman. You might leave Kuhneman out and pick a fourth quick. They will probably bat Wildermuth at 7. So there's plenty of options there.
It's very deep, isn't it? It's a very deep batting lineup because we know Wildermuth can bat as well. But you look at that top order, I was probably say it every week with Queensland, but it really is a sight to behold. Bryce Street, who's in a ripping nick as well, the old Wall Street. Joe Burns, Marnus Labuschagne, Usman, Matt Renshaw. Geez, it just is good to read. You just don't see this side getting beaten, really, do you? Jimmy Pearson in as the keeper, you know, Mr. Reliable, as we say. Bartlett's having a good year, so is Doggett. Nisa, we know, is a very talented bowler and should probably be playing for Australia. Should have at least once by now, but it still hasn't seemed to happen. He's carried the drinks more than anyone that we know. This Queensland lineup looks like the one to take the title for me at the moment. But South Australia, well, as I said, they need, and as you said, they need to go. They can't go winless. Like, it's just, you don't want to see that in any competition at all. But I just can't see them winning a game.
No, I think if Queensland are serious, they'll win this. If they're going to go on and win the title, especially after the opportunity New South Wales have presented them, they shouldn't be mucking around and they should get this done. We'll have a look at South Australia. They've named a 13-man squad. Out goes Chadwick Sayers. In comes Nick Winter. I called him a forgotten man of first-class cricket a couple of programs ago. I'm a moron. He actually played in the Adelaide Hub. His last game was on the 10th of October. So he's back in the fold, the left armour. And another possible debutant is Sam Kerber. Now, he's a 26-year-old all-rounder. He's been playing his premier cricket at Adelaide University, and he's been magnificent. He's averaging 67 with the bat, and he's got 39 wickets at 22 with the ball. So good luck to him if he gets a baggy red. The batsmen, Hunt, Weatherald, Head as the captain, Lehman and Nielsen. Carey's the keeper. He'll bat at number 4. All-rounders, they've got 2 in the squad, Kerber and Scott. I wonder if Liam Scott might be due for a little bit of a rest. And then the bowlers, Wes Agar, Grant, Medu Ewan, possibly his second game, the young leg. He spoke to Bryce McGain about him last program, Nick Winter and Daniel Worrell.
So on paper, this Saka team's actually quite strong for what they can dish up. Sam Kerber obviously has the form on his side in the Premier Division, so looking forward to seeing how he goes. But, you know, Henry Hunt, Jake Weatherald, good opening partnership there. Travis Head's in remarkable nick. Jake Lehman, well, he wasn't bad there last start. Harry Nielsen's been pretty good too. So, and obviously Alex Carey's probably him and Head probably the most informed players. But you know, on paper this is a good side. Medu Ewan probably should get another chance, I think, if you want to persist with the leg spinning option that South Australia seem to be going with Lloyd Pope the other one. And I still don't see them getting up, but this is still quite a strong Saka squad that would probably give most other sides a run for their money. But Queensland, I think they're in a league of their own at the moment.
Yeah, well, let's not forget South Australia were probably 10 minutes away or another 3 or 4 overs away from beating WA over at the Wacker. So, look, it's a good side, especially with Jake Lehman and Harry Nielsen and Alex Carey providing depth at the bottom of the batting order. So good luck to them. This might just be the one. And if not, they got one more to come after this. Let's take a quick look at the table. Queensland have played 6 matches. They've won 3, drawn 2, and lost the 1. 29.84 points. Can sew up a spot in the final with a win here. New South Wales have played 7, so they've got just 1 to go. They've won 3, drawn 2, and now lost 2. 29.01 points. Tassie have rocketed up the table. They have played 7 as well. Just the 1 win, but they've picked up points from their 3 draws. 3 losses as well in there, 20.3 points. WA down to 4th, 6 matches played, 1 win, 5 draws, no losses, still undefeated, 19.7 points. Victoria have played 6 matches, just the 1 win as well, 5 draws, 18.57 points. And the Sackers, 6 played, no wins, 3 draws and 3 losses, now clear at the bottom of the table, 9.21 points. A little bit of housekeeping before we get onto the back end of the show. The next Shield match is going to be Western Australia against Victoria starting on Thursday. Now, we're not going to preview that one in full on the show, but you guys will be all right. You've heard us crap on about those two teams for long enough. You'll be able to put the pieces together. The final round after that, what did you call it, Brody? The Super Shield Showdown Sunday Spectacular?
Yeah, pretty much use all those syllables and alliteration in one. Yep. Definitely. A lot of S's. That's all I remember.
That's starting on April the 3rd. That'll be a bonanza, baby. And then in the Marsh Cup, we're going to have WA against Victoria. That's actually starting on Tuesday, the 23rd as well. So you can tuck into that if there's no play in the Shield match. That'll be sweet. That'll be over in WA. So enjoy that if you get a chance to watch it. And then Queensland against South Australia. That'll be played on the 28th. So that'll be on the other side of the upcoming Shield match. And then, as mentioned, the National Women's Cricket League final, Victoria against Queensland Fire at the Junction Oval here in Victoria, just up the road from me, 10 a.m. Saturday the 27th. Not sure why I told people where I live. That was a bit indulgent, wasn't it?
Oh, it's just because you want to brag, because I live out in the sticks and you live in a nice part of Melbourne. So I'm pretty sure that's what the go was there, wasn't it?
Certainly was, mate.
You'd like the country air out here though, mate. It's bloody beautiful, you know. Not a care in the world, honestly.
Fair play. No, I do like the country.
Yeah, it's good up here, mate. It's good up here.
All right, mate. It is bake time. Wrap us up for today.
Yeah, look, given everything that's going on, I'm gonna say it with a grain of salt, but also cricket in the second half of March. Willem, one word. Poxy. Poxy in Australia, because we barely see anything. You asked me before to review the March One Day Cup between Queensland and Victoria. Guess what, mate? Didn't happen at all. We tried to review the Queensland versus Victoria Sheffield Shield match. Guess what? Called off. 7 for 219, Victoria. Called off. Then you asked me to review WA versus New South Wales in the March Cup. Guess what, mate? Called off. Got nothing for you. You give me all these jobs, I can't do anything for you because there's no bloody cricket to watch, all right? Or do anything. Cricket in the second half of March, you know, it was a pipe dream. Good on you for trying. It's poxy. I'm not into it. Done. Finishes in the second week of March, as it should next year. That's it. Because I'm bloody sick of being asked to review shows, to review games that haven't happened. I'm excited for them. I want to watch them, you know. New South Wales, WA versus Victoria, what a ripping match that would have been. Nah, got nothing for you. Got nothing for you, mate. Ridiculous.
Shoot that poison arrow through my heart. Brody's bake has turned Caro's arrow, and I'm all here for it.
what a nice comparison that is. But yeah, I'm actually pretty over it. It's fairly ridiculous that of the three games you've asked me to look at, none of them have happened lately. So yeah, that's pretty poxy from my end. And now that we're even playing football, it's hard to sort of treat the cricket so seriously. But you and I, geez, we love it too much, don't we?
I think you've just provided our listeners with insight into your workload on this program.
Yeah, minimal in the second half of the year, that's for sure.
Yeah, you'd like to believe you fired up for the first half as well. All right, fantastic. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Short and sweet today. Jackson Bird, we'll close with a little word on him.
Hey, help Jackson Bird, if you're listening, I love you.
Good stuff. We'll be back later in the week. Make sure if you're in Victoria, you get to the National Women's Cricket League final. Tune in to as much of Queensland and South Australia as you can. Let's hope that the rain holds off. Sheffield Shield, it's alive. And despite the fact there's plenty of sport going on and we're no longer actually in cricket season, the cricket is still in season. Funny that. See you, Brody.
Yeah, see you, Willem. Thanks for having me on again and the great show. You're right about that finishing line as well. It's great that cricket's still around. Whilst it's annoying that we miss out a bit on a few games here and there, we're still pretty glad that we get to see it here and there, don't we? So, yeah, looking forward to the next chat.
Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Shield Informed.